All right, so Brian and Adam ventured up to Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. This will be somewhere in the cast.
You
narrating? Yeah. Laying the groundwork. And then I'm giving a preface. And we are here with...
Terrence. I'm a longtime lurker, and I listen to you guys at work all the time.
But, all right. Is this your normal comic shop?
Yes, this is my normal comic shop.
Just for a minute, give a shout out to your local comic shop. How great a store is this place?
Huge shout out to Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. They always have what you want, and they're willing to go out and find it if they don't. So you can't ask for more.
Other than employing Dusty, this is a great place. We're having a little discussion, and we decided to get on the mic about what we read last week. Something we both read was the latest issue of Astonishing X-Men.
Yep.
Which is Warren Ellis and Bianchi's second issue of the series. You read Astonishing from the get-go with Cassidy and Whedon, right?
Absolutely.
What did you think about that portion of the run?
I loved it. Especially, like I said, I've always been a fan of certain X-Men, but yeah. Not the book itself. It's always been kind of convoluted for me.
Right.
This is, you know, when Whedon picked up, it was just like, it was something you could pick up and not really have to know anything about. And you just read it from beginning to end, and it was just great, solid stories.
Yeah, if you just basically knew, all right, that's Wolverine, that's Kitty Pryde, you can just kind of run with it from that.
And, you know, even in the whole, you know, you didn't really have to know what happened to Colossus to know that bringing him back was a huge deal.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he was dead, he's alive.
And he's my favorite. Like, that's my favorite X-Men, so, you know.
All right, now we all loved Astonishing that read it. Except Trey, who won't, because he's Trey. And we were all pretty critical of the first issue of the new creative team. The second one came out. I still picked it up. Adam, you didn't get it, did you?
No.
I don't think Devin – I don't know if Devin was getting it or not.
I think he is. He said he was going to.
What did you think about this latest one?
I think really what I'm hoping is that there's something down the line that's planned.
Like, yeah.
I'm always – willing to give Warren Ellis a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. The first one was all set up. I'm hoping that there's something down the line. I'm willing to give Warren Ellis the benefit of the doubt, but honestly, my main critique is Bianchi's art.
Yeah.
It's incredibly detailed, but it's stiff. Like,
it just seemed to me that I guess my problem with it is it might not even be a quality thing. It's just kind of the tone.
Yeah.
It's like I always saw Astonishing before with Whedon Cassidy is it was like really bright. And really vibrant.
Absolutely.
And it seems like these first two issues are just kind of laying there.
Well, it's classic Ellis. You know, it's Ellis trying to be lighter than he actually is. He's always a bleak writer. I mean, there's little to no thing that he's written that has a happy, resolute ending. So, you know, with him trying to at least stay on task with what Fraction and Brubaker are doing too.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher for him, I think, to get out of his comfort zone.
That's one of the things I'm worried about too is, I mean, obviously Warren Ellis is classic for not turning things in and not finishing things.
Right.
So they stick him in Astonishing and then decide Astonishing is in continuity and it needs to tie in with what Fraction and Brubaker are doing. Is he going to be able to finish and stay up?
The thing with me, definitely, with the one reason I was reading Astonishing is because it took place outside of everything else. I mean, I tried reading Uncanny, and although I really like Brubaker, I just couldn't get into it. There's too much going on that tied into other things.
Right, right.
So the fact that this is in continuity now is killing me. That's one of the reasons I didn't pick it up. I just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you know, kind of like you said, is I like certain characters.
Right.
And when it's really good, you like it because it's really good, but I'm not a hanger-on of, like, the mutant portion of the Marvel Universe.
No, absolutely not. And it's especially after, you know, I read X-Factor. I think that's the one book that, you know, is dealing with mutants that I can actually kind of stay with.
Adam and I both love X-Factor. I wish it wasn't tying. I kind of wish it wasn't tying in with the Skrull stuff too.
Exactly, exactly. It's one of those. And for a long time, it wasn't. You know, it was kind of staying outside of, barely tripped into Civil War and, you know, things like that. Yeah. And
like Adam and I said on the show the other week is that, like, at the end of maybe it's the last issue or the issue before last, it says to be continued in She-Hulk, whatever.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not buying She-Hulk.
I'll never know
not
what happened.
Not buying She-Hulk, you know?
I think it's a three-parter, though.
See?
So I think the third part three will be back in action.
I hope they have the recap page at the beginning of it, because otherwise...
This is what happened in that book you don't want to pay $4 for.
You know, I almost picked that book up, like, I was convinced. It's like, come on, you know, it's Peter David. It's not like it's another writer jumping in.
Right.
So it's like, I picked it up and I flipped through and I was like, I am not buying this. It's not going to happen. I refuse.
No.
So what's something else you read last week you really either dug or loathed.
I am. I'm still on the fence about Hulk. Because I love Thor. Like, Thor is like my favorite Marvel character. But seeing him get done the way he got done, I didn't like the explanation of why he could pick up Mjolnir, the hammer. I don't think he could.
I don't think anybody should be able to pick that up but Beta Ray and Thor.
It shouldn't be limited to atmosphere. Because that's what they said. It's like, oh, we're in space, so I can lift it. No.
Now, speaking of Thor, to maybe happier times, what are you thinking about Fraction stuff that he's doing on Thor now?
Amazing. Like, if Straczynski has to leave the title, Fraction needs to pick that book up because he understands the mythology and he understands the fact that Thor works best when he's slamming things around.
Right.
Like, you know, when he's talking in that talk, the way he talks, and just hitting things with that hammer, like, that's when he's at his best. And I like the kind of exposition that Straczynski's doing and the whole ideas of him bringing people back and the repercussions of that. But, you know, I'm ready to see some smash.
Some smashing around. Are you going to pick up the Thor Civil War little miniseries?
Yeah.
I thought that opened really well, but I'm guessing that the next issue is going to have a lot more action.
Yeah, I think, I think Beta Ray is the reason that I'll probably pick that up. And again, it's Fraction, so I have – he's another guy that I think knows what he's doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I haven't read anything of his that didn't have, some sort of – it didn't make sense, so.
One thing about interviewing people and then finding stuff online where creators are doing interviews too is it's easy to pick up when there are other comic book nerds that are writing the comics.
Right.
And when you hear them talking about other stuff and what else they read or what they like or they don't like, it always gives you the opinions like, all right, I know that guy reads other stuff, so I know he gets that what you want to read kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Fraction's one of those guys is you can talk to him about a bunch of other stuff that he's reading. So you know that he gets like the big picture. It's not just his own little world of what that comic
exactly.
book is.
And that's kind of what grabbed me about those one shots that he wrote for Thor. It was just like, you can pick these up and you don't have to be reading Thor's book. You don't have to be reading, you don't even really have to know Thor. But if you pick that book up and you see, what he does with that, just like, it's awesome.
I thought both of those were really awesome, but I'm glad that he's because he's so fresh with that character,
mm-hmm.
that I'm glad he's the one that's doing that little secret invasion tie-in.
Right.
Because I'm not going to buy all the tie-ins, so I want the ones that I buy to be good.
Quality, exactly. And, Braithwaite's art on it it fits right along in the scale of what people have been doing with
and
Thor
not,
recently.
And it's not far off from the regular book, which is beautiful.
Right, right.
But it's in the same vein. It's not like if you picked up those two Thor books, you'd be looking at something so drastically different. Which,
exactly.
Like, you tie it back in the X-Men. There's 18 X-Men books, and each one you pick up, they're dressed different, they're acting different, they're looking different and all that.
Going back to X-Men, I think that's kind of one of the reasons that I'm a little turned off by Simone Bianchi's work. And again, I liked him when he did the Seven Soldiers book for DC. I liked him when he did a lot of design work before. But the suits are so busy. You move from what Whedon's characters were wearing to it's hard to even explain. Colossus has so much stuff on him that a guy who can lift tanks and tear them in half doesn't need. So
yeah, why does he need equipment?
Exactly. Why does he need packets? He doesn't need pouches. He doesn't need a Colossus utility
belt. If you have massive superpowers, you don't need a utility belt,
exactly.
Like you said.
That's the whole point.
We covered a bunch of Marvel stuff. Like, what's something DC you picked up this week that you liked?
Always pick up Green Lantern. Anything Green Lantern related right now is, like, to me, the top of the charts. I love the fact that the Sinestro Corps is having repercussions, and it wasn't, like, a super hyped event. It wasn't an event that, like, there's 37 tie-ins for seven miniseries, and, it's just a solid story told in two main books. And it's having
like a couple of little one shots and stuff sprinkled.
Exactly, and they're spreading that whole mythos kind of all across the DCU
right now.
You're seeing Alpha Lanterns in Final Crisis, things like that. So
So I guess you read Corpse this week.
Oh yeah.
The thing about me with that book is that I had no interest in that book before it was tying in to how awesome that crossover is,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm still buying it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the things. And for me, it helps that Patrick Gleason's drawn it.
Yeah.
The guy has, he's got a talent for just coming up with out there stuff, like really crazy looking designs.
And, right.
You know, he knows how to draw Kilowog like Kilowog should be drawn.
And like the stuff for the Black Mercy planet was crazy.
Oh, it was insane. And you know, he's got a mind that can come up with that kind of stuff. You couldn't get, you know, there are tons of other artists that couldn't be able, that wouldn't be able to do that.
So. Right. Anything like independent stuff? Do you read Walking Dead?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I had a chance when it first came out. It was Invincible came out and Walking Dead came out.
Right.
I got Invincible. Yeah. And I've stuck with that ever since. And I've been getting Walking Dead in trades.
Yeah.
So I'm only on like the fourth trade right now.
Okay, I won't talk about that.
Right. Don't spoil the whole thing for me because
can't talk about, he's doing Walking Dead in trades. So he's nowhere near the most recent release.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near.
I had to do that. Like, I started Invincible and Walking Dead with trades, both of them.
Right.
And I can't. It got to the point where, especially like Invincible, there's some cliffhangers.
Right.
There's some. But for the most part, it's just kind of your steady superhero book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where a lot of times, like, the big thing in the book will be in the middle of the issue kind of a thing.
Right, right.
But with Walking Dead, Kirkman loves for that last page or something to be something catastrophic.
And that's part of why I'm getting it in trades, is because I would have to – the next issue would have to be out tomorrow.
The bad thing is you're going to find out when you get into the middle trades, they're doing the trades that way, too.
Ugh.
There's a couple of trades that end and you're like – what? And you'll be like, how long will it take me to get to the store, and will they have a copy of it? I mean, there's when I did Walking Dead through the trades, it was a couple, like, I got the first two to try.
Right.
Read both of them. A day or two later, bought 3, 4, and 5. A day or two later, bought the rest of it. And then when that next issue came out, the trade had ended in a cliffhanger. I was like, I have to start buying the regular
issues. Now you gotta get it.
I mean, Kirkman's late. Mm-hmm. On, you know, Invincible and Walking Dead,
right.
You know, occasionally, sometimes really late occasionally, but it's not too terribly bad, but it's the wait for that next issue is a lot less than the wait for that next trade.
Exactly. And I think the thing about Kirkman that, you know, a lot of people love him or hate him.
Yeah.
Kirkman gives you at least what you deserve as a comic fan. You
right.
know, Invincible, if he's late 2 months, you'll get a double-sized book
right.
coming out of it. You know what I mean? If it's late on Walking Dead, you'll get a huge, you know, turning point in the middle
right.
of that issue. So
it's always worth waiting for.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, you don't. It's not one of those things that, like, you're mad it's late. Like, with Marvel, you know, DC, books that are, you know, you expect to be out consistently,
yeah.
you get mad when they're late. You know,
yeah.
it's like, this is supposed to tie into Final Crisis at this point, and why isn't it out? Yeah.
And now I read something else that doesn't make sense
exactly.
because I couldn't read the book that was supposed to be in the middle of it.
Right, right. And you know, that's the thing with Kirkman. And Invincible, to me, is kind of what Spider-Man should have been.
Yeah.
Like, it should be at this point. It
that was kind of why I picked it up, is because at the point when I started getting the trade, Spider-Man was really depressing.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, that I talked to was, you know, tired of that. And two people that I don't normally read a lot of the same stuff that they do basically said, you know what, if you're looking for that, you should be reading this book. And I was
right.
like, what is that? A superhero book from Image? You know, is is McFarlane, you know, is it Spawn or meets the Savage Dragon? Or, you know, I didn't have any interest in that kind of stuff. But they said, no, really, if you're looking for a Spider-Man, you know, and kind of more of an up. I mean, there's some brutal things happen in that book.
Oh,
but it's still, but the book still tends to be sort of, you know, in that upbeat kind of tone,
mm-hmm.
even when terrible things
and,
are happening.
And I think it's another book that, like, it's heavy on fighting, but it's also heavy on character
yeah.
and emotion. A lot of times, you know, Green Lantern will show up and blow something up and be like, all right, that's a wrap,
yeah.
turn around and leave. Well, you know, with Invincible, it's like he fights this person, and then he's got to go home to his mom,
yeah.
or he's got to go home to his girlfriend, who's like, why haven't you been here for the past 2 days?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
And the last time I did see you, you ran out in the middle of one of our dates, you know, kind of a thing.
And he's missed 2 weeks of college at that point, you know. So it's just one of those books that, like, it acknowledges the passage of time,
yeah.
which is kind of what I like about it. There aren't too many books out there that really do that.
Yeah, everything has too many books, like, for Marvel and DC, stay in a vacuum.
Right.
And it's obvious that stuff transpires with this guy.
Exactly.
I mean, he's already gone from high school to college.
Exactly. And he's left college now
yeah.
at this point to be a full-time superhero, is what it kind of seems like. So,
which really makes – that's one of the things I love about it, too, though, is if you were in that situation – you had those powers, you would be trying to stay in school.
He
no,
makes
no matter what mom said, you know, you
he makes
be
realistic
to
decisions.
School.
That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
the decisions in there are realistic. They're things that that actually face off. There are things that
I hear my name. They're saying bad things about me. I know. I was
about to say, you hear your name taking a vein over there.
What's as somebody listens to us regularly or semi-regularly, what's a book that you read every week that you never hear us say anything about?
That's a tough one. Like, you know, I try to dip my fingers into every book that's out there right now. And, you know, there are things that I've really kind of read that recently, I don't know if you guys have talked about Incredible Hercules.
Like, Trey reads it, but he doesn't mention it a whole lot. But I keep hearing great things about that book.
I think Incredible Hercules is, if you're a fan of mythology, if you're a fan of just, you know, the kind of, and it got a lot of flack because it picked up where Hulk left off.
Right.
You know, and it's like you're replacing him with Hercules and blah, blah, blah. But it works because you've got Hercules who runs around and smashes things.
Yeah.
You've got, I guess the kid's name escapes me right now. I can't remember his name.
But it's a kid from that crossover, right?
Right, it's a kid from the crossover. He's a brainiac, so he's like, you know, he does these genius things. And it's the combination of the two, and they play off each other really well. I think one of the good things about it is that they weave in the mythology to make it relevant to what's going on.
Right.
Kind of at the beginning of the run, he encounters Ares. And Ares is holding a grudge from years and years and years and years ago about some birds that he killed. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where you it's funny because you'll trip up and learn something. You know, you'll accidentally learn something while reading a book. And it's
I wonder how much research they put into that kind of stuff.
It's obvious they put a lot in. Yeah. I was a mythology dork when I was a kid and a comic dork at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like Thor that's based out of mythology intrigue me. Hercules is a really great book because they're dealing with some of the mythology and it intrigues me. So, you know, anybody who does 5 minutes of research on their books, you can tell.
Right.
You know, and they're not just writing on the seat of their pants, you know.
Now, speaking of mythology, does that mean you try to pick up Wonder Woman at all?
I've gone through bouts with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
When it first came back out, Terry Dodson was doing the art. It was being written by Heimberg, I think,
the kid from the OC whatever.
Yeah, and I was like, this doesn't fly right. It's not Wonder Woman, you know?
So, I mean, I love the Dodson's artwork, so I gave it a chance for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, was forever coming out.
Right.
Wasn't really interested in the ride or whatnot. And I haven't picked it up. I gave it a try when Gail Simone picked it up and just haven't been feeling it.
Well,
like, I'm one of the few people, I think, or at least I'm one of the few people I talk to, that I really liked Greg Rucka's run before they stopped it.
Right.
Were you reading that at all?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he's one of those guys. I'm pretty bad about following writers around.
Yeah.
Like, I love, you know, like, when Rucka was on it, I loved it, you know. But one thing that I learned from kind of Grant Morrison's run on JLA is that I don't always have to read the main character's book to enjoy them.
Right.
For a long time, I didn't read Batman,
but
I was getting my dose of him through Grant Morrison's JLA, and it was just great.
Well, I think during that time frame, you were getting the best Batman in that team book to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
I think they were doing better stuff in JLA with Wonder Woman for a lot of that, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Not just with Grant Morrison, but when Mark Waid and Joe Kelly were doing it,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. It's people that understand the characters. And I think one thing that, aside from a lot of the core books in DC, Wonder Woman is suffering from a case of, we'll put a writer on it and try it and see if it works.
Right.
The same thing that happened to The Flash. Killed it.
Yeah.
Killed the book. You know, it's like, Geoff Johns finished this great run on it. They restart the book and they're like, we're just going to kind of shake the dice and put a writer
relaunch
on
after relaunch after relaunch.
Exactly. It just doesn't work like that.
Now, we were talking earlier with Brandon about Flash, about how much we both like Geoff Johns' run on that. What are your thoughts about the Barry Allen rebirth with Johns and Ethan Van Shriver?
Well, Johns is a guy that I trust because he took my favorite character, The Flash. He took him and brought him to new heights. Now, with bringing Barry back, you're treading on, I mean, you know, between Bucky coming back and, you know, everything is fair game now. So, as long as they do it.
I fully expect Uncle Ben to be back as the Green Goblin any day now.
Exactly, any day now. But I think as long as they move forward without kind of negating all of that hard work that they did on Wally. And, you know, I've been kind of reading around and I talked to some of the other message boards, and Ethan Van Sciver's main duty right now is he's talking about redesigning Wally West's costume.
Yeah, because they want him to both be the Flash, but to look different now.
Right, right. And I would say I'm worried, but I like Van Sciver's work.
Yeah.
But, like I said, as long as they don't take anything away from what Wally did. And Wally was a serious hero. Wally was, that's all he knew.
To me, yeah, I mean, to me, like you said, he was my Flash, or the Flash. Absolutely. As far as I was concerned.
Because, you know, exactly, when I started reading comic books, Wally was the Flash.
Yeah.
It wasn't Barry. You know, you read about Barry all the time, about how he's great and sacrificed himself, but Wally was my Flash. So I feel like at some point you're kind of messing with my childhood.
Yeah, really.
You know, things that you latched onto. Like I said, as long as they don't just completely negate everything that he did as a great character.
Hey, bud. How you doing? Not too bad.
Yeah, as long as they don't negate what he did, I'm all about it.
So that's why I like the stories. You just see creators walking by shopping, and Bud Root just passes
exactly.
by.
Exactly. You know, you just don't, yeah. That's what one great thing about this store is that, you know.
Van Schreiber lives here now and shops in this store.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and you know. That's again. That's one of those.
You can pester him all the time for details.
It's like, hey, give me some.
So how's that rebirth going?
Give me another snippet of that costume.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't have any real interest in them bringing Hal Jordan back.
Right.
But that book was so good that they sold me, and I was buying it before Sinestro, of course, and now it's one of the ones I look forward to.
Exactly.
Because that crossover was so good. So I'm definitely going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because if they did that, then they might be able to do it with this, too.
I was reading, Jeff Johns was talking about how it's funny, because when he brought Hal back, Hal's background is as a test pilot.
Right.
Which isn't really relevant today.
Yeah,
nobody's a test pilot, you know? You know, you don't hear about it. It's not as glorified as maybe it was when Chuck Yeager was around.
Yeah, back then when Chuck Yeager, that was exciting. Let's make him a test pilot. Oh, that's awesome.
But Barry's background is a forensic scientist. He's a police scientist. So with CSI being so huge, and you know, his job as a detective and as a policeman is relevant now. So, I mean, maybe they can tell some great stories out of that. Maybe they can tell some more about just the Flash legacy and what's different, you know. And hopefully they'll address Bart at some point.
Did you like any of that stuff with him being the Flash? Because I just thought that was too soon.
Yeah, I did too. I loved him as Kid Flash. That was the thing. I thought he was great as Kid Flash because he did that thing where he just like read every book that existed, you know, and was able to call him.
I mean, I made fun of Devin on the show when they killed him because Devin really liked that character.
Right.
And I didn't care for him that much, so I made fun of Devin about it. But the thing that bothered me about that was because I'm a big Titans mark.
Right.
So I read all that stuff, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And the thing that I liked they were doing about the character is they were really showing real character development. Like you said, he was kind of a nothing screwball as an impulse.
Yep.
And he started to take it seriously and took a more serious name, more serious costume, and was showing development again. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, let's fast forward that about 2 years.
Yep.
And it just
and it just
didn't
work.
To him,
yeah, and, you know, it's like they introduce you to a bunch of people you don't care about,
right?
And they don't do anything to make you care about them. So you're just like, all right, well, this is worthless. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's really at
and
this
seemed
point,
even more because they rushed into just killing him.
Yeah, and exactly.
So it makes you wonder. All right, was it so fast because the point was to introduce him and kill him,
mm-hmm.
or did they kill him because it wasn't working?
Exactly.
And not knowing that makes you either be more upset that they wasted your time, or you know, wishes they would have done something else.
Exactly. And it took them a year to get to that point. That's another thing. It's like, you know, if you were going to do this, you could have built up to it. It could have been a little more succinct. Whereas it was like, here's the Griffin. Who's that? All right, who cares? Here's a couple of other people in one-shot issues. Yeah. Who are they? Nobody cares. All right, let's kill Bart because, you know.
All right, it's time to kill another Flash.
Exactly. And you know, that's another thing, now that you mentioned that. The Flashes are known for going out like champions, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, that's the one thing that they do best. If they're going to die, they're going to go out like Superman, you know what I mean? And he just got stomped to death, really.
Yeah, he didn't go out any better than Jason Todd, really.
Exactly.
At least Jason Todd, at least it was a Joker that got him, I guess.
Exactly. And the thing is like, that kind of stomped all over what Jeff Johns had built with the Rogues.
Yeah.
You know, it was just...
I'm interested in that the Rogues Revenge mini to see if he kind of fixes that a little bit.
I hope so. I really do, because over the years, it's gotten a little more – they've been a little slack about following what he said as a precedent, you know?
Right.
So that's something I'm interested in.
You guys just doing the whole show?
I guess.
Basically.
So y'all are over there talking about people.
Like this, secrets kill friendships.
Are you ready to interview V?
Did you guys finish?
Good luck.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Oh, no, man. Thank you.
I haven't really been thinking about what I was going to say.
Well, V, you had your chance.
It's too late now. All right. Ramble incoherently like I do.
So I'm assuming with my laziness, we're just going to keep all this together. And so Brian has now handed the mic off to me.
And Terrence has kindly passed off the mic to me.
So now we have Adam and V. That was a quick transition there. We jumped over. V, if you come to our site, is probably our only, not our only, but she was our first steady female commenter. And especially, well, on the forums, too.
I feel special. Gosh.
She's gone all out for us.
And nobody's harassed her yet that I know of.
I know.
I think it's because I haven't put up a picture yet.
But yeah, I mean, now that Sean has high-speed internet, she's been commenting a little, but still, I'm giving the award to V for being our first steady female commenter.
Yeah, I'm sure it's nice to put a face to a name.
And actually, I have a question about that.
Wait, what?
We get accused by some of our male shop owners about our content not being friendly to anybody but men our age with our own disposition. Have we offended you yet?
No. Amazingly enough, no. Because I think the only people that stuff would actually offend are, like, prudes. So I think y'all have done okay so far.
That's going to be our tagline. Only offended prudes.
Take that, Richard.
So you actually, you found us through the panels?
Yeah.
Recorded?
I went to HeroesCon this year. And I think it was at the Webcomics panel. Mm-hmm. And actually, every panel I went to, you guys were there. And you would get a plug from Tom Spurgeon.
So, I had to fight for those. I like Tom and all, but he kept forgetting to plug us.
And he said, you know, go to dollarbin.net. And so...
So that actually works.
Yes.
Awesome.
But unfortunately, there weren't that many girls at HeroesCon either, so I'm not sure how much that did to boost your female population, except for one. That was me.
Hey, that's 100% expansion. Better. 100% better.
How about that microphone?
So you came over from the panels. How do we translate from you knowing us from panels to actually listening to our show?
More interesting than I thought you'd be.
Oh, that's good. Dollar Bin, more interesting than I thought you'd be.
I was never too keen on podcasts before, just because it's a lot of times just people talking and it's not always entertaining.
I can't stand listening to most podcasts.
But after listening to some of the panel recordings, I decided, you know, I'd give the actual podcast a shot, and it was fun to listen to, and it gives me something to, you know, think about on my hour commute to work.
Do you remember which show was the first one you listened to?
That's a good question.
I'm just kind of curious what kind of impression our first impression was.
Yeah. Brother, like, yes, that was a good one to listen to. But you still like us after listening to that?
It was, I think the first one was Wanted, when it was Sean Reynolds in.
Sean, huh?
Yeah.
That was Hellboy that Sean did with us, actually.
Oh, Hellboy? Sorry, yeah. My bad. It was a movie that came out around the same time as...
Yeah, Sean, so that definitely... So you had a... I don't know, Sean brought us over top. She didn't tame us too much. Like, we were still out there.
She liked a lot of our same.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do much help with that either. Sorry, guys.
I saw you wandering around HeroesCon a couple of times because you were in Indy Island a lot.
Yes.
And so I know you really like a lot of the indie stuff, but you're posting on our message board and showed your pull list, so you read a lot of the mainstream stuff too.
I started with the mainstream, and then like my wandering around Indy Island was just me trying to explore that, I guess, genre? Is that what you want to call it?
Yeah.
And not to mention the big names in mainstream comics are kind of intimidating, so I can't exactly go up to them and say hi.
It's a lot easier just to start a conversation with a guy that's, you know, that's really not a whole lot different than you than it is to go up and start a conversation with somebody that there are people bringing boxes of stuff to sign.
Exactly. And plus, I already kind of knew a couple of guys in Indie Island. Chris Schweitzer was here for Free Comic Book Day. And he recognized me. He walked by me. He's like, "Hey, I remember you. Come by my table. I'll give you some free stuff." And I'm like, "Sweet."
He said the same thing to me.
We need to break Chris of the free stuff. Because everybody has that story with Chris. I mean, Adam said that, but everybody does, where he's just like, "Hey, come on, I'll give you something." No, Chris, you're supposed to sell things.
I even asked him, like, "How much should I owe you? $5 for the poster?" And he was like, no, like, I asked you to come by. It's free.
I'm like, some people at conventions, the last day, they're trying to give stuff away so they don't have to carry it back. Chris was giving stuff away when we were setting up the night before the convention started. And it wasn't just like to us. He was giving stuff away to people he didn't know that night. It's like, "Do you need to sell that stuff?"
Like, he actually did sell some of his stuff. Like, I did see people hand him cash, and I bought a sketch from him so I wouldn't feel as bad. So,
you have a pretty healthy pull list as far as stuff that you read, though. What's I ask you the same question that I asked Thomas. What's something that...
Terrence.
All right, I ask you the same question I asked Terrence. Because Thomas isn't here anymore. We a lot of times we seem to talk about the same books every month instead of branching out. What's something that you think we should be talking about that we don't mention enough?
That's a good one. As far as mainstream comics go, or just everything?
Anything. Adam, stop watching Beach Volleyball.
I don't know. Chicks in bathing suits?
We were doing an interview at his house last Saturday. Before going over to Richard's, we were doing a phone interview, and for 95% of it, Adam was staring at a volleyball match on television.
I don't get. Like, why don't they wear actual shorts? Because sand just gets all up in there.
That was just regular volleyball. You just like tall girls? Is that what you're trying to say?
Sorry, we just totally got off topic.
So what are you reading?
What am I reading?
I'm listening, I swear. Go ahead. Yes, work is hard.
Kick Ass, which you guys already mentioned, I think.
It's a good book.
And?
Yeah. Did you see the whole, somebody posted on our forum about the... Andrew posted on our forum about who they're casting. They're casting McLovin in that. Not for the main character, though.
McLovin's a character that
hasn't been introduced in the comics, yeah.
Spoiler alert. I read the first issue. I have 1 and 3. I don't have 2.
So Brian was saying that you have a very extensive pull list.
Yes.
So what is it that you've been reading lately?
Captain America caught my eye recently. And
have you been, how long, let me cut you off real quick because I don't really care what your answer is.
Okay.
No, I do. But I'm not, again, I have horrible, horrible interviewing skills. You haven't been reading comics that long.
No, actually.
That's what I want to get into. Let's get into this.
Like I think I started back in January. Because I'm Asian and typical, my first love was anime and manga. And I probably started on that when I was maybe 10. Or actually, maybe younger than that.
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. Sailor Moon. So I started reading manga, the girly stuff. And then
Fruits Basket?
I never read Fruits Basket.
It's awesome.
I had an ex-boyfriend that did.
You should read it. It's really good.
And he recommended it to me, but I never got around to it.
You should get the anime. It's really, really good. I'll let you borrow it.
Okay.
So?
But my manga habit, I started reading less and less, because of how much money it cost me.
Yeah, they're expensive, because they're actually like books.
Yeah. And then one day, I think back in January, a friend of mine, he just handed me a huge stack of monthlies, a good chunk of that being the Sinestro Core War.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy crap, man. This stuff is great. Why don't I read more of this?
So Sinestro Core War is one of the first things that you read back into?
Yes.
How did that go, not having read comics in a while, to actually read something that tied in to so much into the Green Lantern Core history?
Well, even though I didn't catch on to a lot of stuff they referred to, and all the continuity and all that jazz, it was still good. Mm-hmm. It made a lot of sense as its own standalone story. Which I guess he did that on purpose, but that made me want to get into all the stuff that came before that, Rebirth, No Fear, and...
So you went back and started reading a lot of things?
Emerald Dawn, I think I picked up as well, even though a lot of people don't like it, from what I understand.
Yeah, I've yet to read Emerald Dawn.
Emerald Dawn. It's a good one. I enjoyed it. And to this day, I'm like all 6 months later. No, it's August now, so seven. Like, I'm, you know, the Green Lantern will probably be my favorite superhero just because that's what got me started. I even got an awesome sketch from Van Siver, Free Comic Book Day, of Guy Gardner, so, which I have yet to frame, but I will soon, hopefully.
I was about to ask. Oh, yeah, okay. So you left the manga world because it was getting a little expensive.
No, I'm still there.
You're still buying the manga stuff, too.
But not as often as all this.
New manga doesn't come out as often.
That's true.
But
you might see a new volume every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. So how did your pull list get so big in such a short period of time?
Just me loitering in the store and flipping through things and also reading tie-ins because I started reading Secret Invasion when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And
I started with Civil War. Same thing happened to me.
And so, like, all, you know, I had to pick up all the tie-ins, too. And some of the tie-ins were good, so I put those on my pull list. Some weren't. I took them off. And I thought about checking out Final Crisis, but I heard it was just a big bag of average. So I was like, I'll buy something else with my money.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's and you'll hear the argument that this isn't true, but I think you really kind of need to know what was going on to really get it.
I tried reading Crisis on Infinite Earths, and
did you get dizzy and throw up?
Yeah, just a little bit. Like,
I've yet to make it through that book. Every time I open that book, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, and I shut it.
Like, it's just so drawn out and so, like, wordy comics are okay, but those are the wrong kind of words that were in there.
Yeah.
So I was just like, it's still on my shelf with a little receipt as a bookmark in the middle of it.
I would like to read it someday. Someday I will. So you're not biased toward DC or Marvel?
No, it's just I don't read DC simply because there's so much going on, and I don't want to pick up Batman issue 375 in the middle of a story arc that I know nothing about. I mean, DC's cool. I love Green Lantern.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't really heard about anything worth picking up.
Really?
It's just like most of the stuff has been Marvel, like Immortal Iron Fist.
So did you read all that?
I read the first trade. Uh-huh. I'm waiting on the second one.
Oh, right. Yeah, you were commenting on the forum about that.
Yeah, and then, like, but until the second one comes out, I can't read anything that comes after that. So I have, like, I'm picking up the monthlies and I'm bagging them, and they're just sitting there until...
I did that for forever. I read the first issue of Iron Fist, and I bagged the next 16.
Just so you could read them all in one go?
Yeah. Well, my plan originally was to read them all when the first arc ended. But then I still just kind of fell behind, and I ended up reading him a couple weeks ago and loved every minute of it.
And how's that new writer guy doing, Dwayne?
I think he did all right.
Did all right?
Yeah. Brennan over at Richards really likes it, and I've heard other good things about how he surprised everybody. But I think it's okay. I'm going to get the next one. I'm not giving up on him just yet.
Just yet.
But we'll see.
Give him a couple more months.
Maybe a couple months.
Well, September's not too far away, so hopefully I can procure the next trade really soon and then read all those issues that I have bagged that are waiting to be opened.
There's so many books. A lot of times with books with trades, once I get the first few trades, I hate switching over to buying the monthlies. But so far, really the only one I've ever done that is Walking Dead so far. I had all them trades.
Like I prefer to start with monthlies.
Yeah.
When at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
I hate picking up trades simply because sometimes there's so many of them, mm-hmm. and they're all like $15 a pop, and you're looking at 10 or some series like there's 10 trades that you got to pick up, and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, the one cool thing I like about trades somewhat is I like to know if a story's going to end or not. So like if when I first started reading, the first thing I really bought in trade was Preacher. And Preacher had a beginning and it had an end. So I knew exactly how much I had to spend to read this entire series,
nice.
Which was cool. And then I knew why The Last Man was going to end, and I have all those in trade. But like Walking Dead, who knows how long that's going to go on. So that's why I switched over on that one.
Walking Dead, I haven't read Walking Dead. I'm not really good with... I'm not good with zombie movies. I'm not much better with zombie comics.
See, I don't like zombie movies.
No?
But this book, it's... And we've said this, it's not about the zombies. It's about society. It's almost about a post-apocalyptic society and how to survive.
And how many trades does it have already?
I believe it's up to 8 or 7 or something.
that's a little expensive.
Yeah, they're like $12 for a trade, though. They're not really expensive trades.
Okay, but they weren't in the half off box outside. So.
No, they weren't in the half off box outside. There's some good stuff out there, though. I'm gonna definitely pick up a few things out of there.
The one trade I picked up was an indie comic.
Oh, what'd you end up getting?
I don't even remember the name of it.
It just looked awesome, so she got it.
Yes. I'm an impulsive buyer like that.
I saw Daredevil Yellow in there. I might pick that up. I haven't read it yet. I've heard reviews about it, but I don't think I might get it anyway. Half off. Okay. You can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong with a half off trade.
You can't. No, they got good stuff in there, too. That's not...
You know what? Like, I think it's kind of interesting how they made such a big... Please, I hope nobody from the Hero staff hears this, but...
Sean might. We love you, Sean.
But, you know, the whole War Heroes tour is a pretty big deal, but the first issue just did not really impress me. I'm hoping it gets better.
Well, thankfully, Mark Millar and Tony Harris won't listen to this. But I agree. I might get the next one. They're really good guys. Tony Harris is an awesome artist.
Like, you can't help but like feel guilty about not picking up their stuff because you've met them and they were so nice to you.
Yeah. Well, it's like they're both great at what they do. Just something about this one's not clicking for me.
Yeah, like the first issue.
And we're not the only ones that feel that way.
It almost came off a little bit cheesy. Just like, hey, Mom, look at me. I can pick up a car.
I think it was supposed to. Uh-huh. And I think we'll actually have to read the next one to know if that worked.
What he told me, what I heard them talking about was they're talking about their colorists and how the color palette changes throughout the story. Like when you're in the States, it's really muted and oppressing. Uh-huh. And then once you hit Middle East, which I assume is somewhere around the third or fourth issue, like the colors get really hot and then they go back to muted once you get back to the States. So I'm kind of interested in seeing that, like, that transition.
I'll have to look at that.
Whether or not I buy it is a whole different story.
Yeah.
Hate is not, like, this is a short series, and I would hate to start something and not finish.
Yeah, the short ones are the ones that grab you, because it's like you'll get to issue 3, and you know it's like 6 or 7. You'll get to issue 3 and be like, this isn't very good, but I'm already halfway there. It's only 3 more books. I hate when that happens.
That reminds me of a lot of other things. That
I had something came out where I refused to buy the last issue, just out of principle. It was a while ago.
Was it bullet points that you quit on? Because some of us quit on bullet points. I read that Huntress thing that you let me borrow. I didn't like it nearly as much as you did.
Hi, Brian. Is it because you know the character and her backstory more?
I don't know. It didn't grab me.
I really, really liked it. I mean, I thought, I don't know anything about Huntress. To me, it was a very good portrayal of a character and her backstory, and I liked the reactions and the dialogue and things like that. I mean, I don't know anything about her, though, so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it ended.
It ended a little. Whatever,
except for the. I guess what I didn't like is I didn't like the Gotham City involvement at the end. I didn't like the Batgirl.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't view her as going that far back anymore.
All the stuff in Italy to me was awesome.
Yeah, I like that more.
A lot
of rape in that book.
Well, you know what they say.
It's like a standard theme for being in the store.
But, yeah, I don't know. I thought if they continued writing it, like when I finished reading it, I was like, you know, I'd continue reading this if they continue to write it. Except it didn't really seem like a year one. It just seemed like a backstory.
It seemed like a year one, but it didn't fit into the actual time frame.
Into real continuity.
She should be. Her year one was like around the time that. Her year one should be along the time frame that Timmy Drake was becoming Robin, not when Barbara Gordon was still Batman.
And that's the part that I thought was probably going to be the most off.
Right.
When you read it. I was like, if Brian knows this better than I do, now that it's actually tying in, then he might not like it as much. It's still hilarious.
So maybe that was my problem.
Yeah. What did you read, Brian? You talked
this week?
About? Yeah.
I read a heartbreaking issue of Walking Dead.
Oh, my God.
Very sad.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad that I'm reading those monthly now, because now I have to feel the heartbreak at the end of
every month.
Yeah,
it hasn't been as cliffhangery. It's been more sad the last couple of issues.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
He takes the phone.
I have enough depression in my life without Robert Kirkman adding anymore.
Seriously. What'd you think about the Matt Fraction Thor?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was the only really Secret Invasion-y thing that I read this week that I liked.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was really good. Secret Invasion itself was okay, but I see your point about it dragging a little.
I think I'm just ready for the crossovers to be over with.
Yeah.
Every book I'm reading ties into something else. I'd like some standalone stuff.
I'm reading the Runaways, Young Avengers Runaways crossover, which I really didn't want to pick up.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and grabbed the first issue anyway. And it's got a manga style art to it often. But it's kind of a cool story. It's basically about, you know, like that Zavin, who's the half Kree, half Skrull, who's in Young Avengers.
Yeah.
He basically is trying to resolve this conflict, but all these people, all these Skrulls, are the Skrulls that have kind of given up on him and changed sides to this their own little religion. So like they're trying to like take him out, but it's been pretty cool.
The new Runaways book is going to be written by Terry Moore and drawn by Roberto Ramos.
Yeah,
it actually looks kind of interesting. I'm still probably not going to buy it, but it looks interesting.
I'll tell you what. One thing I read as far as as far as the Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane.
Yes.
Which I still haven't read.
Of course not.
But Rochelle, who doesn't like Terry Moore that much, she said that he did a pretty good job on it.
I think the cover's very pretty.
Yeah. I don't have any interest in those books,
but I think the cover's very pretty.
Yeah, that's what I got for Chris Black. I mean, that for my birthday.
I'm hung up on something here.
Yeah, I bet you are.
That's what she said. Hey, Brandon, you want to do some mic time?
Yeah, here. You talk to
some random self-promotion.
Give me both mics. I'll do both mics. I'll do the self-interview.
Huh? Yes.
Are we live?
So, this is also your normal comic book shop.
This is my hangout.
With the other people we've spoken to.
There's a lot of new employees here that I do not recognize. I've cut back to about once a month, and getting married will do that to you.
So you're not a weekly shopper. You're more of a monthly shopper.
Yeah. I tell you what, ever since I got engaged, it's easier for me to come in about once a month and pick stuff up. But I've actually slowed down a bit. But at the same time, you know, I come back in here, and especially the events, they're so well run.
How much monthly stuff do you get then? I mean, do you still get a lot of weekly comics, or are you trading most of your things now?
I'm still getting the staples, you know, and then like we're talking about the Invincible and Walking Dead. Yeah. I am so hooked on those trade paperbacks, it's not even funny. And then I try to do a lot of trading. You know, I got the trade thread on Dollar Bin, and I've got them on a couple other sites and stuff. And it's just after a while, you're so busy, you stacks and stacks and stacks. I don't read nearly as much as you guys do. You guys are talking about stuff I've never heard of.
I read entirely too much. I think I'm about $40 a week now, comics-wise.
I think I'm $50 a month.
I mean, we read... Adam and I both read stuff every week that we don't ever really talk about, because you can't mention 12 books. 12 books. If we did, the show would just be what we read.
Right, just be one read-off.
And I don't know that would be more interesting than the discussions.
Those discussions are pretty good.
So you've seen The Dark Knight 3 times now.
3 times, and I'm going to go again. I enjoy it that much.
And you were saying something on the board, I think, where either on the board or on the comments, where you didn't really enjoy the IMAX experience like you thought you would. Is that because of how the Discovery Place's IMAX is?
The one down here, yes. Yeah. It's in a dome. It used to be a planetarium, and it's round. So you go in, and they got the lights off anyway, so you can't see anything.
Right.
Until you adjust, obviously. And then you go and you sit down, and you're probably at a it's less than a 45-degree angle back.
Yeah.
And you're just staring up. And
so it's kind of like watching it from, like, one of the first couple of rows, then.
On steroids.
Yeah.
It's like somebody walks in the left side of the stage, everybody in the whole theater turns their shoulders, not their head, their shoulders, to look over. And then you look back over, and the scene where they're on top of the Gotham City Police Department.
Yeah.
Where it's got Harvey Dent, Commissioner Gordon, and Batman,
right.
And they're going in a circle. Oh, my God. I thought we were all going to get sick. It was just like everybody's just like looking down and like, oh, a bunch of groans. But I saw it again with my dad. My dad's a huge comic book fan, and he was thoroughly impressed with The Dark Knight. We went to a regular theater up at Concord Mills, but I'm going to go again. I know I will.
Speaking of that, who's is your dad who started your comic book?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
He, a quick little side story, he had all of the Silver Age. He was a huge Ditko and Kirby fan. Got married to my mom, left his comics for a day, like a weekend day, and his mom sold them all at a yard sale.
Wow.
And he's as anal as I am about condition.
Right.
So everything was pristine. So we remind him often that, you know, we could have been millionaires by now, but, you know, mom likes to laugh at him about that. But
you could have put me for, you know, through college with that, and instead, you know, we were in debt.
But yeah, they're both artists too. They had a studio at one time where they did a lot of framework, and they would do. My mom's actually had some work on soap operas, like she'll do like a piece for soap opera,
right.
And stuff like that back in the 70s and 80s, and now they do like regular, you know, working class jobs. So they still do art on the side, but that's what got me going.
Is your fiance already making plans to sell yours when you're gone today?
She's already made threats. When my parents came into town this weekend, she put the wedding dress across all of my comics. Well, not all of my comics, because, you know, it's quite a bit. But, yeah, I was just like, you know, it's coming. But, you know, that's why I'm trading so heavily. Get it down to a respectable margin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, that's my kid comics right now.
So you had a little bit of stuff to get signed today. Did you get – you got a sketch from Tommy Lee Edwards.
Amazing Captain America sketch. I knew he was going to be here, and I've gotten stuff signed from him before, so I felt kind of guilty asking for a sketch because I was empty-handed. And, he probably didn't think that I know anything about his work, but, you know, I really enjoyed Bullet Points. And I've seen a lot of his Star Wars stuff,
which
is brilliant.
Are you reading the 1985?
I'm going to wait and get it in trade. Yeah. I've been doing
a lot. It's worth it. It's you know, I mean, unless it just ends horribly, it'll certainly be worth picking up trade. And right. The interesting thing about it is he drew himself in as a character.
Well, he also drew the store manager is my buddy Lee, his brother, up at Ultimate Comics. Is that what it is? No, Ultimate Comics.
I don't know.
He's the fourth man. That's his code name on a bunch of boards and stuff. And I went to school with Lee, and his brother is actually the storekeeper.
Okay.
And I haven't read it, so I can't really talk intelligibly about it. Of course, I'm not really talking intelligibly anyway. So
I would imagine with his style that he probably borrows people to use as reference points a lot.
I think Tony Harris does too. I mean, you can see a lot of his.
Speaking of that, do you get anything from Tony Harris?
Just the War Heroes, number one. I mean, he's another Heroes regular that I've had everything that he's done signed that I have anyway. The Millar, Mark Millar is the only guy that, you know, really not a hero staple.
Right.
You need to get everything signed. But by the time I got up there, it was just basically sign five and move.
Yeah.
You know, and they both said something about, you know, early they were all sketching and having a good time and stuff. It just got so many people here.
Yeah, there was, you were number 72.
Yeah. We were sitting there walking, and they gave me a 72, and they're like, okay, we're calling 20 to 25. And I was like, I'm screwed.
I heard them say a little earlier. I heard them say a little earlier they were in the late 80s. I mean, these guys started at 2 o'clock, and it's it's about a quarter till 6 now, and they're still going. Still little fragments of a line left. So I'm sure they're ready for the day to be over in a nice way already.
Absolutely. Supposedly they're having a get together tonight, and Sheldon's going to take care of them with some good old North Carolina barbecue.
Oh,
I wonder what. See if we can.
I wonder what we'll be. Oh, we'll be there. Yeah, we freeload for all those events.
I should have worn my dollar bin shirt.
Which is fun. the bigger point would be is if you can continue to be away from the fiance for that amount
cool.
of time.
She's cool.
But yeah, I mean,
she might call down here and pay to have me stay away for a while.
I say that he's my new best friend.
Why is V your new best friend?
She doesn't want me to tell you.
Wow. The stuff we don't get on microphone.
I'll be over here the rest of the day, though.
Okay. But, yeah, we'll be tagging along for whatever little festival they have.
I think all of them are going to be there, so you should get an interview.
You never know how that goes. Yeah. It might just not feel like it anymore.
Maybe I'll see if they'll interview you for a change. Turn the tables. Just don't, when you shake his hand, just don't squeeze too hard because he's very small.
Very tiny?
He's very small.
Very tiny and
I was surprised.
Scottish?
He did walk beside us when we were talking earlier, and I didn't realize it. And I saw his head, and I was like, that's Martin Millar. Wow, little guy.
He's smaller than Adam, which is not easy to accomplish.
That's pretty bad.
Right, I think I've hit the...
This is the part where it's the cutting room floor. Yeah. Note to editor.
Hey, Adam, do you want to cut this off?
I'm here with Seth of Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. Seth, how do you feel the event went from outside all day?
From outside, it went very well. We had a number of people who came from the inside to the outside to peruse our $2 stock and half off trades and statues. Everybody seemed to be having a good time, so it went well.
Luckily, they had to pass through the outside to get in here.
Yes, that was our strategy. You know, we didn't want to put the discount books in the back of the store, out the back door. Because we figured people would go in the front. So
makes sense. So you did all right. I will tell you that I think at one point it was actually hotter in the store than it was outside.
That's what I hear. So I was not complaining at all that I was outside.
Did you get to meet some interesting people out there?
Yeah. People seem to come from a long way to the event, so that's always good.
A lot of the same old people, too?
Some regulars, but we had a nice mix.
Anybody you wished would just leave?
No, we want as many people to come through as we can, so we don't discriminate there.
So you were outside doing the discount, hawking the discount stuff.
Right.
How'd you kind of go through and, because all that stuff is shelf stuff. It's not stuff that you necessarily is junk.
Right.
So how'd you go through that?
Well, I went through, like I've done for previous sales or for the convention, and created the stock from
Is that
overstock.
Your sole purpose here at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find?
Well, I'm the warehouse manager, so I deal with all the old collections. Any collection that comes in, I process, determine what we want to hang on to, what we want to sell, as well as wholesale supplies and things like that. So,
and then before I cut you off, you were actually telling me how you picked the books that were out there today.
Yeah. Well, just determining based on what we already have. And we don't want to put all cheap books. So we had some things that are fairly current, that are popular now, that we had a lot of. Things we thought people would be interested in. So we don't want people to think looking through a $2 stock is going to necessarily be a boring thing. You know?
Right.
We want them to have something to look forward to outside. So.
And so you said you were the warehouse manager.
Yeah.
And as far as Heroes Aren't Hard to Find go, we have... You guys, not me. We have this this whole lovely store here.
Right.
Also, back behind kind of a little section, we have how many boxes is that back there?
That's a lot of boxes. That's, part of my job is making sure the store has a good amount of back stock in the store so people don't have to come looking elsewhere for it. Mm-hmm. So my role is really to support the store with back stock, as well as dealing with new collections and acquisitions.
So then other than all this here, there's actually a whole nother warehouse building.
Yeah.
Full of books.
Right.
And that's kind of where you spend your time?
Yeah, that's... I'm not in the store very often. There's plenty to do back there. But yeah, even today, I'm outside. But it's an important thing that hopefully helps the store out a lot. We've gotten some good response from... our customers about our different stocks at the convention and things like that. So it's just another way of supporting the store.
So does Heroes have a stock or a convention stock that's specifically set aside?
It's something that changes from time to time. You know, Shelton will go to a convention and sometimes we'll sell that off. Or it's something that constantly ebbs and flows. So that's something that I always have to keep an eye on. So
what have you been reading lately?
I seems like I read more independent books than mainstream lately. I've enjoyed the Italian illustrator writer Gipi, if that's how you pronounce it.
I have no idea.
He's done some good stuff. Johann Sfarr, I've enjoyed his stuff. Mm-hmm. Skyscrapers of the Midwest was the last really nice thing I read.
Yeah.
So I still read mainstream. I want to have some idea of what's going on, obviously. But I like the more independent things.
Is there a reason you prefer the more independent stuff?
I think it's just maturation, you know, you're getting older. You can still read, and I still read Secret Invasion and things like that, but I think it's inevitable that you're going to broaden your taste at some point. So I think going to college and studying English sort of allowed that transition a little bit. So
what out there... because I'm going to make you right now, recommend something for somebody that they may not have heard of.
I would say either Poor Sailor by Sammy Harkham or Garage Band by Gipi.
Mm-hmm.
Both really good, relatively short works that fans of non-mainstream superheroes would enjoy. Or even if you're a fan of superheroes and you want a little... different type of a read, that would be something good.
Yeah, and Sammy Harkin did a couple of the panels that I recorded.
Yeah, so very good.
People should be familiar with him.
Also, Crickets, his new series.
Uh-huh.
That's a very good read also.
Excellent. Well, thanks, man.
No problem.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.